Hello and welcome to the World Cup Minute. It's Josh Landon live on location. I'm not in Qatar, Brandon, but I'm at a hotel in an undisclosed town. I will acknowledge that undisclosed town has good pretzels, and I will say no more. It's near Dutch country.
Sure, that'll narrow it down for a lot of our listeners,
exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. Not in Lancaster.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you're in an undisclosed location. It has been yet another insane day at the World Cup.
Yep.
12 World Cup minutes, 12 insane days. I guess there were probably one or two days in there that were not as insane. But my favorite moment of the tournament, happened today, where there was that brief 5-minute-ish window where Costa Rica were on their way to the knockout rounds. Spain and Germany were going out. It was a nice, thrilling contrast to what I predicted yesterday would be the battle of who could care less between Belgium and Croatia. That, you know, forget predicting score lines, Josh. We should just predict mental states of being, because I think we nailed that one.
I think that they were... There was a lot of fight in that game. Lukaku, it's insane. I mean, I don't know what his individual XG was in that match, but it was the chances that he was missing. I mean, I know one was like the ball was probably out of bounds and Kevin De Bruyne got it to him, but that one early, and then another one. Like, Belgium should be through, honestly. They should be through. And Lukaku just could not. I don't want to pin it on one person because that whole team was just, like you said, kind of dead on arrival. I think Croatia had a lot of fight in them. There was a moment in that second half early on where I was like, oh, yeah, there's just no way Belgium was going to win this game. Like, even if Belgium had scored, Croatia would have just been like, okay, fine, now we'll score too. Like, they would have just come back and equalized. Like, they were not going to lose that match.
Yeah, for the stats heads out there, let's see, at least the FootMob app has the XG for Belgium at 3.07. So expected to score at least 3 goals, and they scored none. And Croatia's XG was at 0.7. So, you know, they were kind of like spot on a bit there. But I agree. I thought Croatia were good for a goal in moments, but ultimately just didn't need to bother. They did not need to bother. Much like Spain in the latter half of the day, it was just sort of, they just threw themselves at the mercy of the fates, and it worked out in their favor. I mean, I think I don't know which result I would have predicted first, Japan to beat Spain or Costa Rica to beat Germany. Obviously, I think I'd pick Japan. Now we know about Japan, right? That it wasn't a fluke that Japan beat Germany. The fluke was probably their performance against Costa Rica. But what a dream for them to win that group, having beat European powerhouses Spain and Germany. It's amazing.
Totally. And I think we kind of wrote them off a little bit after that Costa Rica match. I'm kind of with you. I just did not see them beating Germany. It's just hard to overlook that historical stuff, right? I mean, it's not that I mean Germany obviously is just consistently very solid, consistently ranked in the top 10 world countries, even though those rankings don't really mean very much. But obviously they won a World Cup 8 years ago. They're what was it, 8 years ago? Yeah, 8 years ago. And, you know, so they're just a serious force in world football. And Japan has always been kind of like the U.S., like a team that can crack the round of 16. And that's sort of, but even then, it's not a given thing. And so, I don't know. Like, if the U.S. had gone into that group and beat Spain and Germany to go through, you and I would be recording this, like, shirtless right now. We'd be so amped up. Like, it's so incredible.
Well, just, like, now that you mention it, maybe I'll why not?
So it's a great performance, and I think kind of the story of today was Spain and Morocco, because I think Morocco, same way, team. In Morocco, we've been sort of given credit to throughout the tournament, and they were a team that came in with some, you know, they were a team that many expected to come out of their group, and so it's maybe a little bit less of a shock in their case. But they've been really solid the entire tournament, and I thought both their goals were really nice today too. I mean, you have Ziyech get that, you know, the keeper's off his line, gets that goal, but then the second goal I thought was a really nice strike as well. You know, kind of with pace from a slightly difficult angle, and so for them to pretty handily beat Canada today, I thought was I don't know, just impressive. And I think that I'm kind of excited to see what happens. And I think that Morocco-Spain game on Tuesday is going to be really exciting now.
Yeah, you do wonder. It kind of works out if you just look at chalk, you know, predicted outcomes. Spain finishing beneath Japan means that Spain wouldn't have to face Brazil if it goes chalk into the quarterfinals.
Yep.
Now they would face Portugal instead, and they face Morocco in the round of 16 instead of Croatia. Now, at least I was a little dismissive there of Croatia's performance against Belgium, but, you know, they are still one of the, like, most granite-like teams, yeah. I guess, in the World Cup. They seem like an immovable object.
They're scary. Like, I wouldn't want to play them. Yeah. Like, I'm glad the U.S. doesn't have to play in the round of 16, because there are just certain moments where just a lot of those guys have played together for a long time, right? It's like going to the YMCA and you just play like a bunch of old guys. They've been going to the same gym 4 times a week for the last 10 years. You know, there's just something about like the way there's just certain passes.
You playing a lot of pickup basketball at the Y?
Never. Never. I'm too short. But you see these guys there all the time. They're the ones with the bulky knee braces, you know? And I feel like that's what this Croatia team is. It's a bunch of bulky knee brace YMCA guys. And they're just certain moments. I mean, of course, they also have a Ballon d'Or winner, but there's certain moments in that match where they're just so fluid. And they didn't lead to a goal today, but there's just moments inside the box or just outside the box when they're cutting in. They're just a really solid team. And it's sort of, like I said before, I think even if Belgium had scored today, I think Croatia would have clawed their way back and equalized and found a way to advance anyway. So just a really impressive team. And now I think I talked about the Morocco-Spain game. That's on Tuesday morning, Eastern time, 10 a.m. And then Japan-Croatia is Monday at 10 a.m. And at this point, I think with both Morocco and Croatia, I mean, you talked about chalk, Brandon. I mean, at this point, chalk, I guess, would be Morocco, right? I mean, they're the group winners. So it's kind of crazy. And then Japan, Croatia, I suspect that Croatia will actually be slightly favored here, if only because they are a World Cup finalist, very similar squad to 4 years ago. I don't know how much that's a factor, but Japan have played really well as well. And maybe it just seems like Japan is, maybe that Costa Rica match will linger a little bit for some people as well. So I'm not making any kind of betting picks here, but I just think that's really cool that both those matches on Monday and Tuesday feel incredibly wide open and pretty interesting in their own right.
Well, I guess we should doff our caps to the end of the golden era of Belgium. Roberto Martinez, I think he's already been told to leave and they've reset the Wi-Fi password. Interesting note from our friend Axel, who's listening in Belgium. This was what's his name? The goalkeeper. Well, why am I blanking on his name? The Belgian goalkeeper.
Courtois?
I want to call him Justin Thoreau for some.
Thibaut Courtois.
Thoreau. Yeah, Courtois. It's his 100th cap today, and it was his 50th clean sheet. So how do you like those for odds for clean sheets for Thibaut? 50% odds that he's going to get a clean sheet for his country every time he gets on the field.
He certainly wasn't at fault today, that's for sure. I think, and he made that great pen save off Alphonso Davies in that opening match, the Belgium-Canada match. So I just think up front there was just, it's weird. I mean, I don't even get it. Like, I guess if Lukaku converts a couple of those chances, they go up 2-3-0, maybe that's just too much ground for Croatia to make up and they go through. We're singing a different story. But even then, it doesn't feel unjust that Belgium didn't go through. It doesn't feel like, outside of the fact that you know all the players and they're super famous, like that's the only reason why there's any kind of heartbreak there, because they have not played in this tournament like a team that has any shot of winning it. And so I don't really mind if they leave. And the Morocco thing is just kind of cool because I was reading earlier that they're the first African team to win their group since 1998. So the first time in 24 years that an African team has won their World Cup group, which is pretty cool. And it's just sort of a fun. Yeah. And so I think Morocco and Japan. So we have to briefly on the Japan thing. It's like you see certain clips of that ball, there are certain, like when you see it with a normal camera, it looks like that ball absolutely crossed the line and the, for the game winning goal, and then you see it, like the overhead shot, and it looks like it has it, but I'm like, well, when did they freeze that camera? Like, do we know? Yeah. You know, it's like one of those like super tight offside calls. Like, well, when did you stop the frame here? Because it's hard to believe it didn't actually cross over, but it's like he brought some paint with him or something when he you know kicked it with his foot.
These balls are loaded with microchips, apparently. There was a story after the Bruno Fernandes's brace for Portugal, and Ronaldo tried to claim one of the goals, and Adidas, who manufactures the ball, comes out after the match and says, we analyzed the match ball, the data within the ball, and we can definitively say Ronaldo did not touch it.
Wow. The gels in his hair,
which is
did
wild,
not show up. We did a close sweep of the ball.
So, you know, we're just this short of the Fox Sports hockey laser hockey puck technology that we all enjoyed in the late 90s. But, you know, conspiracy theorist as I can be, I do generally believe the goal line technology. But, yeah, sure. It's... like, when does it all stop? We never see the full story. The offside calls drive me insane because we're expected to take for granted that they have the exact right moment in which the pass leaves the passer's foot. We're only ever looking at the onrushing attacker, and no methodical whatever is given to the guy actually passing the ball as far as we can see. So, yeah, you know what? That it's better that way. Don't tell me what's going on in the computer lab behind the scenes. Just let us watch the football.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's fine. And like, you know, if Germany wanted to go ahead, they should have beat Japan when they played them. Right. It's like they had their chance. This Germany team, it's weird that they're going out. Honestly, it's they really are just full of great players. But it's kind of like Belgium. If you don't play well together, and also like we're not playing 30 matches in these World Cups. It's three games. And if you're just a little bit worse over three matches, then you're through. And there's no reason to think I don't really, yeah, these are tournaments and they're knockout style. And it doesn't mean that one is inherently better than the other, but they were this tournament and this three match group of matches. And that's part of the fun of it is that if it, you know, it's like the Phil Helmuth thing, if there's no luck, I'd win every time. It's part of the fun of this is we will get occasionally Japan going through or Belgium going out, you know, and with Morocco winning the group. And that's if we didn't have that sometimes, it just would not be fun. We would not enjoy it nearly as much. That's why the college football playoff is so broken, because it's the same four teams every year.
Yeah, you need more teams. But there are limits to that. We are opposed to growing the 32-team World Cup. That's an official World Cup minute always cheating position.
Yes.
I feel bad for one aspect of the German team, and that's Musiala, the 19-year-old Bayern Munich player who had a fantastic tournament and was trying so hard just to get one souvenir, get one goal for his name to come away with in the Costa Rican match, and it just couldn't come together. But I think that is the main takeaway for me from this German side is we will be hearing much more from Musiala.
Yeah. I don't think it really matters. It's ultimately a star-making performance for him. It's a little bit like Thomas Muller, who I saw right at the end of that match, too. And it's like, that's the last time we'll see him, very likely, you know, put on a German kit. And I remember him when he was his first World Cup. I think he was around 20, so kind of a similar. Obviously, they play different positions, but just sort of that, like, the young superstar. Cool.
Still looked like he was 33 at that age, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mueller.
Yeah, he's got that look. I don't know what it is. I think these guys are all in the sun so much. I think that's what it is, you know. But he's always looked like he looks like the dad of like a preschooler or something. I don't know, you know, if that make any sense. Like he's the kind of guy you'd see on the playground with a
what?
You know what? You're not a, you know, it's I can't go too far down this.
It takes
analogy,
a dad to know a dad. Is that what's going on?
Just in my particular neighborhood, there's a lot of dads that look like Thomas Mueller, and they're like incredibly fit. They're super tall. They're vaguely European, and they're always drinking like a tea. And this is just like their kids are just doing anything at the park. They're like they're not paying any attention to them. They're not looking at their phones either. They're just zen, and they just always seem so cool and put together. And this is and I'm not. I'm like running around with Quinn, like pretending to be a pirate or whatever. I'm just like a total American in that way. So let's move on to tomorrow's matches. Brandon, we have the Group G and Group H matches in the morning. We have Ghana hosting. You know, they do kind of have these home and away designations. It's hard for me to get away from that. And I do occasionally still say teams when I mean to say countries or squads. But Ghana and Uruguay play. South Korea and Portugal play. Those are the Group H matches. So these are the final two groups before we get to the round of 16 matches on Saturday. And so pretty simple. Portugal is through to the round of 16. They can win the group with a win or a draw versus South Korea or a Ghana loss. So lots of ways for Portugal to win their group, and they're already clear through. Ghana can make the last 16 with a win or a draw versus Uruguay. So fairly straightforward for them as well, although I think that's going to be a difficult match. South Korea can make the win, the last 16 with a win versus Portugal and a Ghana loss or draw versus Uruguay. So slightly complicated on their end. And finally, Uruguay can make the last 16 with a win versus Ghana and a South Korea loss or draw versus Portugal. So as long as South Korea doesn't beat Portugal, we have, there's a good chance that Uruguay or Ghana will make it through. So I guess it kind of depends. I mean, I think Portugal still have something to play for because they're going to try to win that group. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like we saw with France, where there's kind of a heavily rotated Portugal.
Right, yeah. And I think that...
Thoughts?
Thoughts are, yeah, pick your favorite country and root for them. Maybe order some food from the neighborhood that is tangentially
Uruguayan
related to that country.
Restaurant. Yeah,
yeah. You know, you go to your local Uruguayan takeout and do that.
I'm not sure I've ever had Guyanese.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's good.
I must say, I will be cheering for Uruguay tomorrow. There are a lot of players on that squad who I like. From the young to the old, and I think they've got a little bit of magic in their boots that they haven't shown us yet. And you know, our friend Eric with a K, you know, he's a Uruguayan and always supports the team. And I think that this, you know, this fan base is so steeped in World Cup history that I don't know. I'm afraid of change, Josh. I can't see these historic nations just beg off and cede ground to, I don't know, the United States, for God's sake.
By the way, if South Korea and Uruguay both win, it'll come down to tiebreakers again. So this is like the World Cup of tiebreakers, Brandon. But I'm sort of with you there. I keep getting caught up in all these advancement scenarios. It's hard for me, and my head is spinning with all this stuff. But I'm with you. I'm rooting for Uruguay as well. They were just such a big part of that 2010 World Cup, which is sort of still my favorite World Cup, just because it's the one that really got me to fall in love with the sport. So that's where we are. Really fun matches in Group H.
To not get too caught up, from my perspective, to not get too caught up with the advancement scenarios until the matches are actually in play. It's almost like watching the groups change live. When Costa Rica goes up 2-1 over Germany, and to see that entire group, the table there get turned upside down, was incredible. And you know, you don't necessarily have to anticipate all the machinations to appreciate it in real time. I feel like, you know, there are people who like spoilers for movies and people who hate them. I personally hate them, but I feel like, you know, there are people who want to know all the scenarios going in, who don't mind spoilers, but it's okay to be the opposite and to go in spoiler free.
Fair enough. Well, I'm also going to give you the scenarios for Group G, okay? So I can close your ears.
Okay.
If you want, Brennan. I think it's useful. This is what I would want to know going into these matches, so I guess you and I are on opposite sides here. I also tend to prefer to watch movies over read the Wikipedia plot summaries. So you and I have different, you know, that's horror movies specifically. I don't know why, Brennan. I like to watch these, a little bit of them, although Barbarian I did not watch. I had to read the Wikipedia one for that. I was a little too scared.
Okay, so half measures from my co-host there.
Yeah, something about basements. It just creeped me out. So we have Cameroon play Brazil and Serbia play Switzerland. I was thinking about these Group G and H matches, by the way. Something about them coming so late in each of the cycles. It almost feels like these are the afterthought games, don't they, a little bit? It's like... there's been so much drama with sort of all of these opening round matches. And then you always have this one final group, and it tends to have Brazil, and Brazil are just sort of the clear you know favorite in these groups. And so Brazil is clean through. They win the group with a win or a draw, or they can even just win it with a Switzerland loss. Switzerland make the last 16 with a win or a draw versus Serbia. And then Serbia, it's kind of simple. They can make the last 16 with a win versus Serbia and a Cameroon loss. So if we expect Cameroon to lose to Brazil, even if it's a heavily rotated Brazil side, then that basically sets up Switzerland versus Serbia for advancement and the second place in Group G. So I think that's pretty fun. I think that Switzerland-Serbia for all the marbles, Brandon, that seems pretty fun to me.
It sure does. We've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast, but going back to Switzerland and Serbia meeting in the 2018 World Cup and the previous with Shaqiri and Xhaka coming to Switzerland by way of Kosovo, and there is some contentious geopolitical stuff there with Serbia, and there was a goal celebration sign done by Shaqiri that was not taken very well by the Serbs. Right. This right. could turn into a compelling grudge match for sure. And, you know, good luck to you who takes the side opposite Aleksandar Mitrovic, because this man is a big boy and he will take you out. And I'm wearing my Fulham shirt today in support of Mitro, the man, the myth, the legend. Go Serbia, I say.
Yeah, I'm looking for. I'm rooting for Serbia as well. I also am a big fan of Mitrovic, and it's kind of a fun team in general. I think that they really had a chance in that Cameroon match to be in a much simpler spot. But they've made it tough for themselves, Brandon. But they still have a shot, and that's all you can ask for. So beat Switzerland, and you're through. And Cameroon has a chance as well. It's just a little more complicated. They would have to win versus Brazil, and Switzerland would have to lose. So not impossible, but it's just hard. Just Brazil, if it just looks so strong in this tournament, it's even without Neymar, it's hard to see Cameroon winning that one. But we've seen a lot of really interesting and exciting upsets so far. I was not expecting Japan to beat Germany today, or Spain today. So everything's up in the air, a lot to play for. Really looking forward to tomorrow's matches. And then Saturday sets up for those first two round of 16 matches, including the U.S.-Netherlands on Saturday morning.
Blimey.
Very excited about that. Very, very excited. And the Wi-Fi is great in the conference room, the conference that I'm at, Brandon. So I'm going to be going to the bathroom 20, 30, 50 times if I have to, okay? Just going to tell them that I've, you know, I don't even know that I had a bad pretzel or something. And that's what we're doing.
Well, yeah, they went in pretzel country. No, you just walk in with like a giant jug of water, like a 2-gallon thing of water, and just constantly chugging and refilling and being like, even go so far as to claim a urinary tract infection. I mean, it's the more plausible, the better.
Yeah.
Or I guess the more unquestionable, the better.
That's true. It cannot be doubted at all. That's a good point. All right. Well, that's where we are, and looking forward to tomorrow's pod. We'll see where we are at the end of group. Maybe we'll do a quick look at the bracket of the round of 16 after tomorrow's matches, because I actually have not. You don't want to look at the scenarios, but I haven't looked at the bracket yet, mostly because I don't want to jinx the U.S. I don't want to be like, oh, what happens if we beat Netherlands? What's our group after that? It's like it feels like I'm too nervous to look at all that stuff.
Everyone's got their superstition. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.